morning because FAA was delayed. So I wish that in other provinces we do have fewer flights. So I wish to say that I do welcome everyone in this meeting. This is the first of kind after COVID-19 that we are meeting like this. Honorable members, when I presented you, I've seen these faces in their Congress. It was started by workshop. First day I couldn't get a workshop, but the second day I did attend. It was so interesting that I've seen all federation leadership in that workshop. It was a vibrant one. I even said there, honorable members, I wish that all of our members was invited in order that we must look at when the leadership is interacting amongst themselves. And the presentation there were so exciting as was to me when they were talking about the one presentation who's dealing with the development. And I was happy that the Mutsepe Fund been coordinated, and I was being told, honorable members, that the ministries, the team out of the ministry and out of the SAFA and CAF, I'm suspecting that the team that is monitoring that money, and being these members that we also want to see accountability and oversight to our department, and department must do follow suit. I'm suspecting that recently we didn't see you when we were having a debate because of this problem. I wish that acting DG, you did invite us where you were with our stakeholders. We were going to have a time to interact. It was individuals who were calling me saying that we were catered, we were in a big screen, and if we were there, some other things we were going to ask to themselves. But nevertheless, here they are, and I did pass on all what you asked me, mandating me to do. You did hear when we were debating, and before we debated, I did report to the committee that, one, you wanted that we must support the more budget for women's sport, support the bid. I did take that mandate. I've seen this morning that acting DG this evening, the Team South Africa of netball too is going to be announced. I wish that you were there presenting the people of South Africa from different provinces, as well coming from different provinces. But sometimes these things are happening haphazardly. But I'm suspecting as time goes on with these few months left, that we must vacate and go and look at grandchildren. And I don't know these young ones, what are they going to look at? Because even to themselves, they may not come back. I don't know what they are going to do. Fortunately with me, I've got one grandson, Luyanda Hlulane. I'll wake up and take Luyanda, but at least I'm still working. I'll take him and go and do a gym and go and coach netball, being a former GK. With those words, I'm welcoming you all. I was preparing something to welcome you, but I'm suspecting, I feel like, let me just speak to you. Honorable members, I can ask now the leader of the department to tell who's here, who's not here. I thank you, FNDG, Dr. Khumalo.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon. Oh, it's morning. Good morning. To all the honorable members, the delegation from SAFA, my colleagues. I am here leading the team today, acting DG.
A moment, I'm feeling that it's so warm. Can everyone put their jacket in order that this day must be recognized? Being a granny to Luyanda, that I don't feel cold. How much more the young ones? I'm pleading. Are you feeling cold, guys? Young ones. Look at the granny. Look at the granny. Okay.
I wanted to say that, Lalo, but I couldn't be an official. So I was saying I am leading the team today. I'm just going to indicate regarding the apologies from our principal. With me is the Deputy Director General in charge of the sports brands, Sumaya. Ms. Sumaya Khan sitting next to me. And the director in her branch, who is the one who works with Federation, Sport Federation, Fundo, Muina. And then we are also accompanied by support staff that is always working with us within ministry. At the back there is Mr. Mbotwe and there's Vuyile Watani. And next to me is the official in the office of the DG, also working on parliamentary matters. So that is from the department, Chair. When you allow, the Vice President who is leading the team, Linda Zwane, would talk to the delegation from SAFA. Can I then, while I have the platform, Chair, also indicate that the minister has forwarded his apology. He is out of the country. As part of his responsibilities and duties. And then the Deputy Minister, who also wanted to actually come here, was unfortunately requested to go and represent the department at the President's Imbizo, which happens to be taking place at the same time. We do want to indicate that that apology was also forwarded to President. Thank you very much.
Thank you, FNDG. We have noted the apologies. Let's now give a chance to our visitors, SAFA.
Thank you very much, and greetings to honorable members. My name is Linda Zwane, the Vice President of SAFA. Firstly, I want to register the apology of the President of the Association, Dr. Denny Johan, who is outside the country at the CAF executive meeting in Algeria. And our technical director, Mr. Steenbock, who is in Brazil in the FIFA TD course. With me here today, I have the Vice President, Mr. Bernard Bailey.
Honourable members, why do you listen to the introduction? Why you must say this visitors outside? Please repeat.
I have Vice President Mr. Bernard Bailey. And I have the National Executive Member, Mr. Gerald Don. I also have the NEC member who happens to be the Provincial Chairperson of the Western Cape, Mr. Tanki Somodipa. From our administration, I have the head of the administration, Mrs. Lydia Manyapau, the CEO. I also have Mr. Kroni Suyo, our CFO. We also have Moremi Klepp, who's the person responsible for our competitions. Thank you, Chair.
Let me take this opportunity to say that we've got only apology of especially the president. We don't have other apologies of your board council. I would love that we must hear where are other members of the board and the apologies. It's going to be in order that we must know their whereabouts. And whilst we are noting that at least we are about 7 years presenting this stuff, but we are aware that you have board members who are not here. Can you do so, giving us the apologies? Who are they and where are they? Thank you. Maybe before that, honourable members were seeing a very improvement through this committee, that we also want the gender. And today we're having a former player who's also now a CEO. I'm suspecting that it is in order before we do any other interaction to say congratulations. It was my first time that I've seen her presenting the almost things in the conference. And now when I've seen in the media that you are a CEO, I was saying, oh, that little girl that he was doing excellent job there. I was saying even your former CEO was always coming to you. I said, hey, no wonder what's going on. Honorable members, let's take the opportunity to welcome this honorable young lady. I don't want to mix with the apologies. That's why I'm saying give congratulations to you and then let's have apologies.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think you'll appreciate the fact that our National Executive Committee consists of 43 members. In the 43 members, that includes the honorary members, which is your honorary presidents and the other members. And you also have the PSL represented in this 43. So we could not have the large contingents coming here. I think logistically it was going to be a bit of a nightmare. But we always send representatives to various forums because we cannot carry the whole 43 persons. And like it is known that this is a voluntary work. Some they are at work, but generally our issue was that this is a large group of people which it was not possible to have all of them in this. So the reason why you don't see the whole 43 is that's mainly the reason that it's a large group, and we felt that we have to delegate. So we are a delegate of that whole National Executive Committee. Thank you.
Honourable members, now we'll get
to introduction, apologies, and now I'm proposing the adoption of the agenda. Okay, why now? you know the way that he has not. before that, honourable members, I've forgotten to ask apologies of the members from Zoleka and from other members of the committee. I'm very sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have apologies from Mr. Adams, Ms. Chandey, Mr. Mazongwe, and Mr. Gamabolo. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other apology? No. Honourable members, I'm putting the agenda in front of you. I'd love to ask honourable members to adopt the agenda. Honourable Mushong.
Chair, can we have some amendments? Can I move that we remove item number 5?
Thank you, Honourable Mushong.
Just for noting.
Yes. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'm seconding that we adopt the agenda. Thank you with the amendment. Okay, thank you. Honourable members, can I now give this platform to the acting DG?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning once again. The body of the presentation is going to be taken through by the DDG. I'll just talk to the first part slide of the presentation, which just gives indication that, Chairperson, we have recognized the notice that came through from the portfolio committee, where we are going to ourselves together with SAFA to brief the portfolio committee on the annual report 21-22, provide update on the development of football in schools, status of the development of underage teams, update on Banyana Banyana's preparations for the World Cup and the status of the Bafana Bafana's preparations for AFCON and beyond. So the presentations, Chairperson, have noted that particularly the SAFA presentation will then cover that area as contained in the notice. Through you then, Chair DDG, will take you through our overview as the department. Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much, DG.
Thank you very much, ADG, and good morning, Chairperson, good morning, honorable members, and greetings to the leadership of SAFA in attendance and colleagues. Chairperson, I'm just quickly going to do an overview of the report as we presented, noting Chairperson that we presented this report, provided this report a while ago. So I will also speak to any new developments that are quite current in terms of the report as well. So if we're looking at the first slide, I think the CEO and the ADG has spoken about what the focus of the presentation is. In terms of the governance issues that we actually oversee with SAFA, the annual general meeting did take place. It was hosted on the 22nd of September. SAFA considered changes to their constitution regarding how they elect the next president and outline their financial standing at the annual general meeting and their constitutional congress at SAFA. The congress represents the supreme and legislative authority of SAFA in the right to make decisions. Next slide, financial support to SAFA. The financial support from the department to SAFA for the 2022-2023 financial year is 7 million rand, and this support is earmarked for the following priority areas: 5 million rand for the Women's League and 2 million rand for the Under 17 World Cup qualifiers. And in Chair, historically, SAFA, like cricket and rugby, get funding mainly for the female component of their membership and programs. So the earmarked funding for SAFA was the majority of it was 5 million rand for the Women's League. And we can see over the years that we have provided since 2019 5 million rand annually for the league. And this is purely for the development and the professionalization of the Women's League. And I think SAFA will speak to the details of that as well. And then some of the achievements, as we've indicated, they've qualified, the women's team has qualified for the World Cup, the hosting of the National Women's League, and the continued hosting of the women's training course and hosting of the under 17 women's national training camp. Madam Chair, as preparation for the FIFA World Cup, we have also now written to all the provinces to indicate that they need to support the national team players who come from their provinces through the academies program. So we do have funding in the conditional grant that is earmarked for the academies program, and we've now asked the provinces to also prioritize that where the football players come from, if they're coming from the various provinces. The provinces and the provincial academies through the conditional grant support must actually provide support in preparation for the FIFA World Cup, the Women's World Cup. The eminent persons group, as I've indicated to Chairperson, when we presented this report, this was the status, but I'll speak through the changes as well. The EPG status as of the 2019 report indicates that football is predominantly overall transformed, with 82% of participants being African, while 5% of the participants are white. Concerningly, SAFA had not at the time, as I've indicated, Chairman submitted the EPG data sheets for 2020-21 and 21-22 EPG cycles. Noting, Chairperson, that 2020 was the COVID cycle, so generally across the board there has been difficulty in any sports taking place, and it did affect the submission of the EPG reports. But subsequently in our discussion with SAFA and following up, the CEO has submitted the information. And just to indicate, Chairperson, when federations do not submit the EPG reports, the non-compliance results in departments not transferring any funds, not only to SAFA, but also to any other court in a similar position. So that's the one of the penalties. The other one is also that they would not get any support when they're bidding and posting for any major event. So if we had not got the reports from SAFA, these are some of the penalties that would have come through, and these penalties are already detailed in an MOU that we signed between DSAC, SASCOC, and SAFA. But I'm happy to indicate, Madam Chair, that yes, they've been submitted on time when we required it. So we have recorded that, and even in our reports we have recorded it. But we, as I've indicated, the CEO has submitted the report. school sport. The department, together with all the provincial departments of sport, arts and culture, and in partnership with basic education, work with SAFA to deliver the school sport program as per the MOU. The school sport program includes supporting schools with football equipment and attire, training of educators and community volunteers, and additionally the local football school sport structures are supported to coordinate and facilitate grassroots school sports activities. The school sport program further includes the annual Winter National School Sports Championship with the following categories: the under 15 boys and girls provincial winning teams, the under 17 boys and girls provincial selected teams, the under 19 DEF boys and girls provincial selected teams. We need to also indicate, Chairperson, that in the under 15 category, the two winning schools represented South Africa and won the 2022 CAF Africa Schools Championships in the Kusafa region, and they qualified to represent the country in the continental stage of the competition in April. The boys' teams were the runners-up, and one of the players was chosen as player of the tournament. This was the championship that took place in April. The coach of the girls' team and five players were part of the national under-17 team that won the 2022 African Union Sports Council Region 5 Games in Malawi, which indicates that the program's contribution to talent identification and development in the country. Football further benefits from the school sport program through the four DSAC school sport educational campaigns, which are coordinated in partnership with Love Life, and this was a known to age cheating, which is rife in football, safeguarding children in school sport, no to substance abuse, and protect a girl, educate a boy. These are all the campaigns that we run during our activities at Landscape. And just in conclusion, Chairperson, the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, we will continue to work with SAFA in the development and delivery of football in the country, and I think SAFA will speak to all their preparations for a bid to host the 2027 Football World Cup, and the support that we have provided to them as well. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Deidre. Now, can I take this opportunity to give the leader of the delegation from SAFA?
Thank you very much, Chair. Firstly, we want to confirm that we are working closely with the department, and they have been supporting us throughout. The second issue, Chair, we wish to also confirm that we were late in terms of the EPG submission, but we have submitted, and the reasons for late submission was the changes in the administration. The person responsible had to leave the association, so we had to do a transition of that particular responsibility to the person who will now going forward be responsible for such. Chair, we have prepared our presentation, and for that reason we will allow the CEO to lead, and I think the CFO will also, and the competition person will then come in as requested by the CEO. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. by virtue of this, now there's a cold and warm cold, and now I'm being laughed. All of you, you do hear now that there's a cold that is coming.
Just to continue with the presentation, I will first start by the summary of the overview that we presented at the 2022 Congress that took place at Emperor's Palace on the 22nd of April this year. Just key items there, we are working on a, from a strategic perspective, we work on a 4-year period, strategic-wise, that is coincides with the FIFA World Cup. So our previous cycle actually started in 2018 and it ended in 2022. As everyone knows, we had what we called Vision 2022 that started actually back in 2014 to 2022. Our previous cycle actually just finished. And we are in the phase of phase one of Vision 2030. We have actually just completed a very detailed strategic framework for FIFA that is required to, that's required to be submitted by the end of June. We submitted the first draft this Monday for review, and we will be making amendments as they request after their review. Thereafter, we will start with phase two of 2030 vision. Vision 2030, which will be from 2026 to 2030, with the host country of the 2030 FIFA World Cup to be announced in the third quarter of 2024. Qatar just hosted the previous World Cup. In 2026, will be hosted by the US, by USA, Canada, and Mexico. That's the World Cup that we look to participate in, that we're working towards. What happened in the previous cycle? We had the elections that took place in June of last year, where a new National Executive Committee was elected and introduced. That signaled the end of Vision 2022, and the new NEC now has to plan for the next two cycles, meaning 2022 to 2026, and 2026 phase two to 2030. Vision 2030, Madam Chair, was discussed and finalized after the Indaba that we had at Emperor's Palace that you attended, which was titled Towards Global Competitiveness, a South African Model, on 21 to 23 April 2023. Vision 20 will build on where we are in the global family of football, increase our global competitiveness and ranking both for country and club. We will talk about where our national teams are in terms of rankings on the African continent, and also globally later on when we talk about the state of readiness for both Banyana and Bafana for the upcoming tournaments that they will be participating in. And this Vision 2030 will be very comprehensive and inclusive from school to professional football, as well as associate members, so that we incorporate everyone into the structure and ensure that from football-wise we cater for everyone, because we know that, you know, everyone participates. The majority of people take part in football, and we have to cater for as many people as possible there. The events that took place in our crafting of Vision 2030, there was a FIFA seminar that was held from 7 to 8 February 2013 in Paris, France. It was attended by our president, Dr. Jordan, and also the previous CEO, Advocate Motlanthe. That's where we started with the strategic framework, and further engagements happened with the UEFA leadership retreat in Johannesburg in February. both geared towards finalizing our strategic and operational plan for Vision 2030, and we concluded the strategic framework at the Indaba on the 21st to 23rd April of this year. SAFA, as an association, we have placed our strategic plan within the context of FIFA's 11 key goals. I will just quickly touch through them in the interest of time. The first one is about modernizing football regulatory framework, looking at our statutes, rules and governance regulations to ensure that we're protecting everyone within the game, and democratizing and taking accountability from club level to LFAs to regions and provinces by hosting governance workshops at these various levels. Number two, to grow revenue sustainability for further reinvestment in football. Number three, increase the efficiency and efficacy of the organization. Goal number three, ensure the success of our iconic competitions with focus on our domestic competitions that we are running, such as the APC Motsepe League, the Hollywood Bet Super League for the Women's Sasol League, the King Motsepe League for the schools and the National Schools Leagues, the men's and the women's regional leagues, and the interprovincial tournaments at under 17 and under 19 levels for both men and women, and recently the newly launched under 15 tournament, so that we cater for the younger players as well. Number five of our Vision 2030 will focus on globalizing our competitions. All SAFA's nine national teams, Bafana Bafana, Banyana Banyana under 23, Olympic men, under 20 men, under 20 women, under 17, both men and women, beach football and futsal, will ensure that they participate in all competitions in the CONSAFA region, CAF and FIFA competitions. And we ensure that, the rankings improve on our performances and also the rankings. Number six, we would like to increase global competitiveness of our national teams when we talk about rankings as well. As we indicated, we hosted the African Schools Football Championships this year, and we would like to bid to host the CAF Women's Champions League. We're hoping this year, if the time still allows, but that is something that is being discussed internally to see the feasibility of that. As you are all aware, we have put forward the bid to our interest to bid for the 2027 FIFA Women's World Cup, and we've just submitted a bid agreement to FIFA. The deadline is today. We submitted on Wednesday, and we will be expecting documents from FIFA that will guide us in terms of putting together a bid document. We face stiff competition from UEFA MMAs in the joint bid from Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands, the North American joint bid of USA and Mexico, and also the single bid of Brazil. Number seven of our goal, we look to maximize our impact on global football development and also accelerate the growth of women's football. As you are aware, women's football has grown in leaps and bounds, and we've put a lot of resources into ensuring that our ladies and our young girls, are given access to quality competition and regular competition, something that some of us as former players were not privileged to. But these days, the association has gone a long way in terms of improving the access and quality of football for our women players and increasing participation at all levels, and also giving opportunities to coaches and others that are participating in football in terms of coaches. Now all our female teams are being coached by women. As you are aware, Coach Desiree Ellis, a three-time CAF Coach of the Year. She's coaching Banyana Banyana, being assisted by Simpiwe Zuzu, who's under 17 coach. We have Cheryl Wooters, who's in charge of our high performance center for the girls. We have Jabulile Baloyi, who's in charge of our under 20 national team, and Shailene Boyzen, who's also a technical advisor on Banyana Banyana as we prepare for the 2027 FIFA World Cup. other female appointments in the association include, you know, vice president, association vice president, who's one, Ms. Natasha Tiklas. In the national executive committee, we have four female members, and you know, and we have presidents of regions that are female, or two females that are presidents of regions. So the representation of women is increasing. On the leadership scale, it's not only in terms of giving access to quality competitions for women, but also on the leadership scale. Number nine, we want to harness technology in football because we know we are in the era of 4IR. So football technology has become very important in terms of improving the quality of the game. And we are working closely with the PSL in terms of the introduction of VAR in our football. Number 10 is to protect positive values in football, fair play in football for all, SAFA guiding principles, and number 11, which is the last key strategic goal, will be to impact society through the power of football. We know everyone loves football, so we want to ensure that they've got access to football, whether it be participation or whether it be a fence, or whether it be people that are sharing their expertise, physiotherapy, sports science, coaching, etc. So that's quite important to us. So that is, in the nutshell, what we are focusing on as far as Vision 2030 is concerned. So we are working hard at it. As indicated, we submitted a draft plan to FIFA in line with their deadlines, and they are reviewing our plan, and they will revert. And also, I can tell you, Madam Chair, that we are in the final phase of our women's football strategy because we are taking women's football very seriously. We've put together a strategy that will be finalized and launched in the next month ahead of Banyana Banyana's departure to the 2027 FIFA women, 2022 FIFA Women's World Cup, because we want to ensure that we keep the momentum of being African champions. You know, we don't want to what happened with Bafana, you know, after winning the 1996 AFCON, and their performance went down. We need to ensure that we keep the momentum and you know, our performance either is maintained or is increased on the global scale. Hence, why this need for a women's football strategy. So that is the summary in terms of what has been happening in our side in this last cycle. I will hand over to Mr. Moremi Clip to take you quickly through the focus on the 2023 and 2024 CAF competitions.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members, Chairperson, and the SAFA members who are here, and the Department of Sports presentation. So in terms of the focus on 2023-2024 CAF, these are my first, just to say, okay, let's change the slide. For the competition 2023-2024, we have the AFCON for under 20. So those are the dates in terms of the AFCON. That the AFCON took place from the 19th to the 11th of March in Egypt, but South Africa did not qualify for this tournament. And then the next competition, that is the African Sports Championship, that we successfully hosted in Devon. That was in partnership with the KZN government, the National Department of Sports, and the National Department of Education. So we hosted this successful tournament, and then we hosted 14 teams, 7 boys, 7 girls, and from those 7 boys, 7 girls, South Africa had 2 schools, that is Edendale Technical Schools, that is in KZN for girls, and then Clapham from Pretoria. So, and then the other tournament is the under 17 that we host, that is a competition that took place in Algeria. I think today is the last day of the competition, the under 17, where our under 17 were eliminated during the group stages by Nigeria. So, and then the other competition is the under 23. That competition will be in Morocco this year, from the 23rd to the 8th of July.
Can you speak through the mic?
Okay, okay. Okay, then other competition is under 23. That will be taking place on the 24th until the 24th June to the 8th of July in Morocco. But our under 23 was eliminated recently during the COSAFA qualifications. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is the CAF Women's Championship. That will be taking place in September. The dates were recently finalized. That is why you don't see the date. So let me check the date. But it's the beginning of September. That will be in Durban. Just to confirm the date was. That is the date. The date will be from the 8th until the 16th of September. That is, so that will be hosted in Durban as well. So those are the competition, but for the Women Champions League, our representative is Mamelodi Sundowns. As you all know that Mamelodi Sundowns won the Hollywood Bet Super League last year, so they will be representing us, and they've been doing well in the CAF competition as well as COSAFA competition. So those are in the national, the competition. I don't know whether maybe you are dealing with the next slide or whatever. And then the other one is for 2024. For 2024, we have the African AFCON that is scheduled in Ivory Coast. So that competition was postponed from this year to 2024, and then we see Zimbabwe being disqualified. So Bafana Bafana has qualified for that competition. So as you know that they've qualified by beating it's Liberia now recently. Yes. And then for AFCON, that is the women's AFCON for women that will be taking place in 2024. So South Africa will Banyana as a defending champion. We have to play for qualification. The qualification will be starting now in July, in after the World Cup in August, between August towards the end of August. And then they will be competing in the COSAFA level. And then for futsal, the dates have not been confirmed for 2024, but the competition is in Mozambique, and as well as the African beach soccer competition in Egypt. So those are the competitions that I think I've shared. Can I go on with the pool? Oh, the cedar size, so I don't want to speak on behalf of the thing, so I must make sure first. Otherwise, I'll be fired. In terms of these are the process, the size of the players for the tournament, as I indicated earlier. So in terms of the numbers of players, so I think most of the players that we are using for the national senior teams for both boys and males and females, Bafana Bafana and Banyana Banyana. Banyana Banyana, we get more players from Hollywood Bet, Super League, as well as the Sasol League, Provincial League. And then for Bafana Bafana, as you know, all the players are coming from Manchester. But for the other junior teams, most of the teams are coming from schools, Winter Games in particular, as well as our inter-provincial tournament, SAFA tournament. So I'm not going to say much about the numbers because I think, and then the international day calendar, I think for us to assemble the team, we needed at least 2 weeks because as you see, most of the competition will take 2 weeks. So that is how to assemble a team, it will take a day or three. And then if we play home, sometimes we would have assemble a team minus 2 or minus 3 days, depending on the leagues, because some of the players to be released, the PSL has to give permission, to PSL teams has to give permission. But for women's league, it's easier because we are responsible for our own league. We decide as when can the players be released for the national teams. So I think I've covered most in the, I don't want to talk a lot about the tennis, but I've covered you in terms of the international calendar. Unless maybe there are. Then I can go to schools, I don't know, I should cover schools. Yeah. Africa Schools Championship.
The platform is yours. Don't consult too much. Just go on what you're supposed to tell us.
Yes, yes, please. I don't want to be controversial. That's right. Yeah, as I indicated earlier, we hosted the successful African Schools Championship, and then we need to applaud the Clapham schools. They did well. Even the Edinburgh Technical School, they did well in Malawi. They got position 1, gold medals, and then they won $100,000. So that $100,000 they will be used to renovate the school. As currently we have received their project plan, because that money is intended to renovate school. The whatever they needed to renovate, whether the renovation or to buy a bus. So Clapham, they won $300,000. During our African School Championship held in Denver. So those two schools, with that money, when you calculate to our own rent at 19 rand, you see how much it goes to. For Edendale, it goes to 1.8 million, and for Clapham, it goes about 5.8 million. So that money, they have submitted the project plan in terms of the renovations and so on. Now, we had the initiative as well of Edendale Technical School. So on the 9th of February, in partnership with Hollywood Bear Super League, we donated 30,000 rand as a back-to-school campaign. So that is the amount that we donated to the school. So that money was used for those young girls to buy school uniform, to buy stationery and so on. So as a way of saying, not necessarily they are only playing football, but we should also contribute to their school, their academic issues. Now, in terms of the program for schools league, these are the leagues: Kimo Tepe School League. We have started already with communities, but the program was launched on the 3rd of March by the National Minister of Education, Minister of Sports, as well as the Dr. Petrus Mutepe and SAFA President Dr. Dojan and the President of Nepal. So we that program assisted the 150 million scholarship was announced by Dr. Mutepe. And then every year the sponsorship will be 30 million. And then the winning school will receive 3 million rand. So, but the 3 million rand will be directed towards the project in terms of renovation of schools or classroom or buying of school equipment and so on. So now we have started yet, and then the program, for our program, we have started with the online registration. So the online registration is where we invited all schools to register for Kemotepe. So the Kemotepe Schools Cup is for under 15 boys and girls, and only for this year we are only focusing on under 19 boys, but next year we'll introduce under 19 girls as part of the program. So now we have the kickoff date has been planned. Some of the schools have started already their leagues. And then in terms of the provincial playoffs have been played around July to September month. And then the national championship for Kemotepe will be from the 2nd until the 7th of October, but we have not confirmed the hosting province yet. And the other program that Madam Sumaya just indicated, the Winter Games, of which it started from the LFA or school level, second level, where you find schools are playing the leagues for under 13, under 15, under 17, and then under 19 there as well. And then after that, we play under 15 inter-school, and then after under 15 inter-school level, and they proceed to the next level of national championship, which is the Winter Games. The date for the Winter Games has been confirmed, the 3rd until the 6th of July, so as far we are preparing that as well. So, okay. No, I'm on the calendar. Yeah, on the calendar. Go on, I'm on the calendar. None of that. The calendar is... The calendar, go there. The calendar with columns. So I was just... The calendar summarizes whatever the slide that is there. Yeah, sorry for that. I didn't see what... Yeah, this one, that one. I'm sorry for that, honorable members. So just to confirm that we are playing the Winter Games, confirmed date is the 3rd until the 6th of July, and then the hosting province is collecting. So, and then maybe the next slide, just to assist. Then is the FIFA for Schools program. So the FIFA Schools program, the objectives, the first objective is the issue of mass participation. So this program is in partnership with FIFA, SAFA and FIFA, and we have the support as well from our national government, that's the Department of Sports and Department of Education. So we have established the aim of this program as well is to encourage learning through playing football. So the age group is between the age of 6 years until the age of 12 years. So it's, the focus is on primary schools level. Next slide. And then in terms of the launching of the program was launched on the 24th to the 26th of August and at our SAFA Technical Center, and we had, we trained the 52 educators and then as master trainers. So those educators are expected to train other educators, the trainer program. So, and then we have received as well 50,000 soccer balls. Those balls have already been distributed. Currently, we distributed about 43,000 balls around the country. Next slide. Now, out of the program, we had a committee that consists of SAFA, Department of Basic Education, and representative from Department of Sports and Education as well. So the committee, the steering committee, just to oversee and monitor the progress in terms of the program. The third one, the third slide. And then, the role of the committee as well is to establish the provincial steering committee. What we are doing nationally must happen as well in our provinces as well as the district level. So we have the committees that oversee the progress in terms of the FIFA for Schools program. And then the next slide. So this is the program breakdown. The first one is to identify the schools that are beneficial in the program, and as well as the educators that will participate in terms of the training and implementation of the program. And then the second one is to have the training, 3-day training that is as per the FIFA guidelines. And then the third step is to have the implementation in terms of mass participation program around the country. So that program has to take place from March until the end of September. And then from time to time, we have to give feedback to FIFA. Now, FIFA has the app, the application. So you just log once the educator or the coach has implemented the program, he has to log into the app and give feedback to FIFA using the app. And thereafter, the fifth step in terms of the program is the interleagues, where you find if maybe you have one school, you can play leagues among the boys and girls, they can play among each other just to create a small leagues. And then the last one that the committee is responsible is to ensure that they do a monitoring and evaluation of the program. the next slide. Time frames. So we had the time frames for this year, and then that, those time frames we are obligated to ensure that we comply. That is in terms, that is why the submission of the training program which was done already, and later with this one of ensuring that between April until the end of September, that is what I've indicated earlier, the grassroots program, intra-leagues, and then October month, that is October, is where we do evaluation of the program, and then between October and then November is then we plan for 2024. Okay, the next, in terms of FIFA for schools, is the issue of distribution of balls. This is how we distributed the 50,000 balls per province. So these are the numbers. Already those bonds have been distributed to provinces. So recently Gauteng, as we have seen in our social media, they've started to distribute those bonds to schools. And then the chemo paper, I'm sure I've covered most in terms of the chemo paper. I don't have to repeat it unless if maybe I've omitted. But in terms of chemo paper, maybe the other slides, if you can go to the slides where it says principal sponsorship, just to highlight to members. Yeah, the next one. Yeah. So this is the structure that we are working on in terms of chemo paper schools cup, schools championship. We have the program which consists of our principal, that's the Minister for both Sports and Recreation, our president. So that is just to oversee the running of the project. And then we have the committee we call it KMO Zipper School Cup Scholarship Committee. So every Tuesday we are having meetings, so where we discuss the project, and then where we discuss and implement the program. And then the end of this month we'll be having the national workshop where we'll be discussing the roles and responsibility of different stakeholders. And then currently we are in the process of appointing the national coordinator for Chemo Tsepe, and then provinces as well will be appointing one coordinator per province as per the recommendation from provinces. So this is how the steering committee structure looks like. We have two members, myself and Mr. Pila, and then from SAFA, and then we have representation from the Department of Education, from the Motsepe Foundation, as well as the DBE, and as well as for DBE and DSEC, we have two each. But in this slide, it's one, but it's two. So these are the steering committee members. So I think I've covered, and then the National School Week. You can go to the slide of National School Week. The National School Week, that is a plan, the project that SAFA wanted to implement. We have timelines, but unfortunately because of finances, it is difficult because we are looking for funding to ensure that this program has, because this is a project that will have impact when it comes to school football. We have the National League, which is the Women's League, the Women's League Best League, we have PSL. Now we have to create a National League for schools. So it is where all the top schools compete. They play each other, and then we have the best schools. So we have nine, as planned, we have nine, which is Coastal and Inland. So the next slide, then you can see the breakdown. So these are the schools that have been identified, but they've been identified through the KMO Zipe Schools Cup competition. So these are the top schools, so we want to create a league for them, as well as for the ladies, women's side. So that is the plan for SAFA, though I've indicated that the issue is that we need to raise about 21 million rand to run this project. So I think I've covered that one, and then can I go on to TD's program? I think I said more. Okay. Okay. Our status of development of underage teams, that is the TD presentation. The apologies we submitted for TD, I'll go through to it, and then the CEO assist if maybe the I For we have the High Performance Sports Center. Now we are done with schools. Now we are coming to another program. We have High Performance HPC, that is High Performance Center, where we have about 15 girls that have been placed in that area for development. So and then currently we received a partnership from FIFA via the FIFA talent coach, Mr. Dean Selvi. So now they are also partnering in terms of this program. So this program will run for 6 months for girls.
I'm very sorry. The presentation from SAFA has been with us.
Yeah.
So if you can talk to it.
Okay.
I'm saying that we are a little bit dragging and we're looking at time.
Yeah.
And we need more time for questions and clarifications.
Okay. Okay.
So try to talk to your slides.
No, I'm almost done, Chair. Because remember when I started with the national teams, and then when
I'm
Chair
still on the platform. No problem. I'll try to summarize in all, and even the next presenter is either CFO. You must talk to your slides, because the most of the time. We need members to engage, and especially members that got your slides very early. Thank you. No problem.
Apologies. I'm a project manager, so usually I'm talking about project. I want to go into details. I'm sorry for that. But for this national teams, I'm done with the HPC because I was just giving the highlight. And then when you go to other slides, it's all about national teams, of which when we started, I started with the national teams already. So I don't have to make repetition. So I think most of the program of TV covers the national teams. So, and the only program, maybe the only slide that was, that it is not, maybe the talent identity, you can go to talent ID and you skip those analytics. Yeah, that one. We have appointed the two scouts, that is David Nyati from Cape Town and Aaron Mukwena from Houghton. Those are the two Bafana players who are doing the talent ID. So they are traveling all over the country to identify the talent from under 30 up to under 20. So, and then I think we have covered in terms of the under 17, I don't have to repeat. And then in terms of FIFA Technical Development Scheme, that is the under 15 tournament that currently we are having the under 15. They're starting from local level, local football association level, local level, from the club level, local football association, and then we select the best team of the province that will be competing in the inter-provincial under 15 tournament. Now in July, from the 7th, 8th, and 9th of July. So the interprovincial, it will start from the level of Winter Games, and then it goes until Sunday, where we'll be in the interprovincial. And then from that team, we'll be selecting the under 50 team, that will be the national team. Probably around August, the team will be competing in Denmark. That is the plan of the team. So that is how we built the under 17 for FIFA World Cup. And then I think in terms of coaches, I don't have to talk more about the coaches because the CEO has already alluded about the coaches. I think I'm done unless the CEO wants me to go further and further.
Thanks, Mr.
Moremi.
Just to highlight that we are currently providing CAF C. And D licenses in terms of capacity building for our coaches, and we are working on updating our manuals for CAF A and B in order to ensure that our coaches are on high standards as far as coaching is concerned. So that's the only thing that was we didn't speak about. I will just quickly touch on preparations for both our top our senior national teams. Banyana, I'll start with Banyana first, the African champions. They are currently number two on the African continent after Nigeria, and number 54 on the international stage on the FIFA rankings. They will be playing against Sweden, who's ranked number 3 in the world at the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup, and against Italy, who are ranked number 16, and also against Argentina, who are ranked number 28. And those games will happen on the 23 July 2023 against Sweden, the first game, 7 o'clock local time here, and they will play against Argentina in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. on the 28th of July, and also against, the last game will be against Italy. The last group game will be against Italy on the 2nd of August 2023. In terms of preparations, where we are right now, in March, April, the team played against Serbia, ranked number 35, and unfortunately the team lost 3-0 there, but it was a preparation camp. We didn't have some of our players in camp, some of the overseas-based players. And recently the team was in camp from the 1st of May to the 5th of May, where the coach called only locally based players into Johannesburg. She called about 32 players, it was a lot of testing, because she feels that the local players are not in, are not on the level of the internationally based players, so she wanted to work with the locally based players only. And that camp was preceded by a goalkeeping camp from the 8th to the 10th of May, so that she can only focus on the goalkeepers, because she wanted to give them undivided attention. The team will go into camp from the 12th of June until the 6th of July in preparation for Australia and New Zealand. That camp will be held in Johannesburg and Polokwane. We were looking to play a friendly game on the 2nd of July in Polokwane. Details are still to be confirmed, but we are working on that. She will start working with the locally based players and then bring the overseas based players, because they will be just finishing their leagues overseas. She will give them time to go home, relax with their families before they join the camp. And then we'll have a send-off match for them, and then around the 6th of July, the team will leave for New Zealand, where they will be based in Napier for acclimatization and physical and technical preparation, and also to build team cohesion. They will play on the 15th of July against Costa Rica, because the next FIFA date is the 10th of to the 18th of July. So they will play Costa Rica, ranked number 36, just to test exactly where they are ahead of the kickoff of the tournament on the 20th of July. She will be traveling with 23 players that she would have selected, and 3 players as well in New Zealand. The team will be handed over to FIFA on the 18th of July. The coaching staff, as indicated, is mostly female. Head coach Desiree Ellis, Simpino Zulu, assistant coach number 2, assistant coach number 1 being Tina Sorkin Bully, and the technical advisor is Shailene Boysen. They are supported by other coaches there, and also a very strong medical team, and a team doctor, physio, Monsieur, and we are looking to beef up the team with a second physiotherapist and also an opposition analyst. So that is in a nutshell the preparations going into Australia, New Zealand. After that, the team will be very busy in terms of the 2024 Women's AFCON qualifiers, which will be overlapping with the Olympic qualifiers, the 2024 Paris Olympic qualifiers. And at the same time, our under-17 women's national team and under-20 women's national team will also be engaged in various qualifiers as well. So a busy period that we'll be going into from July right up to next year, April, for women's football. On the men's front, we have Bafana Bafana, that we touched quickly on. They qualified for AFCON 2023 that will take place in Ivory Coast in January and February 2024, that was postponed from this year due to various factors. The upcoming games, Bafana Bafana will play Morocco on the 17th of June. This is the last qualifying game, which does not really mean anything because both teams have already qualified So it will be more of, you know, just to finish off that good stage of games, because as we know, Zimbabwe was not was suspended from participation in the tournament. However, the coach will play one game. He's not looking to play an international friendly game during that period because he wants players to rest. And in September, he will play two international friendly matches, and also in October, he's looking to do the same so that he can test where we are against our team opposition. But in November, in the November break, he'll only play one international friendly match and also do a lot of testing because he wants to see, to ensure that the players are ready for Ivory Coast. And then we are engaging the PSL in terms of support from the PSL in terms of release of players so that the coach can have sufficient time to work with the players ahead of Ivory Coast. The tournament will be held from the 13th of January until the 11th of February in Ivory Coast. So that in a nutshell is where Bafana will be looking to how they're looking to prepare for Ivory Coast. After that, they will be engaged in various friendly matches, and also the qualifiers will then start for the next edition of AFCON. Thank you, that's the summary.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to all of you. I think in terms of our presentation, we're done with the presentation. We are ready for questions. Thank you.
Thank you to you, leadership of the and the officials of SASA. Honorable members, it was a very long presentation, as the streamline has received it, and we are trying to be more detailed. But here we are. Can I take hands? I've seen Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Malomani, Honorable Zondi, Honorable Sibiya, Honorable Dennis, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I welcome the presentation. And I want to congratulate Mamlikia Kemzulu. I apologize for the surname Munyapau. I apologize. It's rolling like, but I honor you and I honor Mbogoto. And please, when I ask questions, it's not personal. I'm hard, but I for the love of the game. And it's not attacking you as a person. That's why I'm starting the chair, because I want to be honest enough not to. I'm not attacking the person, but the office. I fail to understand why SAFA, you don't have t-shirts. We have golf t-shirts. We have golf t-shirts, not golf, netball t-shirts. And there's this golden jersey that you have, the new jersey. And no, Deputy President, it's wrong for you not to give us your jerseys. You must account to us, we must promote soccer, and we must have that golden jersey, the new jersey, 96-2022. I've seen it, but we must have it as a committee for you, for us to promote you. We are promoting netball, we must promote soccer.
But nonetheless, Chair, the jersey is nice. It has heritage.
Yeah. Am I audible? It has heritage, history, and the legacy. I've worked especially with 20, I usually say the 2010 World Cup, I was in a volunteer. Imagine today I'm an MP. Now, it has a legacy and a heritage, that jersey, I know. But Chair, I'm concerned. And luckily, I'll take Veronica's question. The 10 minutes of Veronica to my 10. I've got so many questions for SAFA. Chair, I have concern about the NEC. You plus minus 43 NEC members, but we've noted the apologies. But today you are less than 44. You're not even half of 43. But worst of all NEC in the world, they are between, there's no NEC members in football in the country, in the world, in Africa,
than less than 23, the most I'll quote you. Libya, they have 13, Liberia 13, Malawi has 10, Botswana, where's Botswana here, is South Africa 43, it's on the net. Now what causes for us to have more NEC members, more than average NEC, it's a concern, and you did not even know how to come here. I expected 47 and 43, and you are less than 4 who are here. Now, each and every thing must be done to the core. Let's align ourselves to FIFA. Let's align ourselves to the world body. I'm concerned on that. This is the biggest NEC you've ever met in the world. Chair, I'm going to the actual issue. Chair, I'm concerned with the SAFA appointment of the CEO. I think we're getting it to the media and the way things were done. If SAFA are open and honest to us, can we have a resignation letter here? Former CEO, that is the first thing. Because they gave us a picture which is something in Iran, and there's a leakage, which no, there was cameras and everything. You know the issue. Now, if there's openness and clean government, we must get a copy as this committee, the resignation copy of the CEO, and we'll analyze it and know what is it. Now, if we don't have a copy of the resignation you're not going to give us, it will tell us that the perception that communities and soccer lovers have against the soccer is that because there's no openness, especially with TC resignation. Going to the same issue, what is the policy of the SAFA when you resign and when you appoint? There's no, I want to know the policy. I think they must have an acting CEO. After acting, you appoint the actual, and there must be process. Why that was not done? And I listened to President Jordan when he announced Umamlidia. Carefully, I went back and I listened. We'll speak to her later. There'll be financial implication. In other words, in the part two picture, President Lindazone, Deputy President, in the part two picture, Ngati, the announcement was clear but contradicting. Now, what was the NEC decision? Because there was no picture. I'm analyzing outside. I think it's good for us to have this because my analysis, it was not a confirmed announcement. It was, we're still going to speak to her. It was clear. Now, but the announcement was, we're having a CEO. Now, it would be an explanation that must be done. And I put it to you, President, and the member of the NEC. If we don't get the resignation letter, I put it to you that Mambo Mokoena resigned for the same issue. Similar issues or the context of the allegation. Chair, I'm going to finances. Financial submission, it shows that there's a $3 million loss on the loan from FIFA World Body, which is 22 million, which is recorded in your income statement. What is the reason? What was the loan for all about? Can we get the understanding? And when you do your calculation, it's that loan and that 3 million, which is 25 million. Now the CEO must explain maybe to me how do we get that. On how much does the World Women's, not the World, the National Women's Team are paid monthly. I wanted to find out. We speak about equity now and then, Tina. Male football and female football, there must be equity. Give me a standard. How much does a player from women's National Women's League, Bathola Malin? I need that standard. And then I'll see the equity that we're talking about. There must be equity in payment of our players. Legacy. How much to date legacy trust, how much to date it's on the account in legacy trust, and then how much has been spent on legacy trust to date and how much was spent. There's an article that I see and I must say it's checked, who you check, sorry Ali, and say there's no media and we have community members who are interested in SAFA check, but today we don't see which the parliament has opened this. Who gets you? I saw an article. Who is Amanda, through you, Chair? Who is Amanda Zamini,
who's working for SAFRA. What was the employed position here, and what is the reason for her to leave? SAFRA is a national good in South Africa, but I'm concerned regarding the performance of Bafana Bafana. I'm concerned about the performance of Bafana Bafana. And DDG, we've spoken about this in Bizo, Soccer Indaba, for us to know exactly what is it, where can we change. They have changed the constitution. I wonder if the constitution has changed for alignment with the FIFA, the latest. I don't have a copy of the constitution. Is it aligned to FIFA? Body as the constitution of the amendments. What was the reason not to implement Vision 2022? Now we have in Vision 2030. Why was not a Vision 2022 implemented fully? Because it's not implemented fully. Now what impact and litigation that are going through now, Konama cases. We know the cases against the president. It's formally I've asked a question to the minister and the respondent is still ongoing. What other litigation cases that are within SAFRA that we are not aware of? Even the daily operational cases that we are not aware of. And what is the status of criminal investigation against the president, which was filed by former SAFRA NEC members? What is the status? Because in the annual report, I don't see that. I think these are the things that must we know what is happening in SOCA. Can SAFRA provide us a global picture, region by region, provinces by provinces, for the development of SOCA in the 52 regions that you have? There's an F. Let me go to let me go to this question. Page 115. The executive report. SAFRA noted that they needed a full-time administrator for the league. But now, what are the implications? Because they don't have a full-time administrator to date. Another question. I'll get a second by the chair meeting later. I'll send move up all the way.
The eye?
Yes, when you come by.
We have got your conscience that you are about to ask 20 questions alone.
Yeah. See, I wanted to find out another issue that I've raised with the minister, and he's not here. Deputy President, tell us, what was the reason for PSL to boycott your Congress? Your NH, what is it, a national, was it a, your H, your Congress, I don't know what it was, an annual or, but what was the reason for PSL to boycott that, and to date, what are the relationship between that SAFRA and the PSL, and how many liaison meetings do you meet since to date, since they boycotted them before and after they boycotted to date? For now, Chair, let me put it in Zorobuya foot. Thank you.
Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you, Honorable Ken. Greetings to Honorable members, our staff, the department, and the delegation from staff. Let me also welcome the presentation chair. The first question, it will be based on the issue of the Vision 2030. I can say that is Vision 2030, but there are no time frames. What are these things are going to happen in 2030, we don't know. But from now on, can we have time frames on the other matter to say when is this until 2030? We can do our oversight well so that we can know when this is going to happen. The other matter that I want to speak on is the issue of modernizing the football regulatory framework. How does SAFRA intend on democratizing the accountability from the club level? Will it have guidelines prior to the processes to clubs for understanding this approach even before the hosting of governance workshop proceeds? As well, what has informed this democratic accountability? What was the previous
accounting process that was there for the club. The other matter is that I can see under accelerate growth, the growth of women's football, is that is the state that suffered to also increase the number of female coaches, referees, technical officials, and administrators in the structure of LFA in provinces and national level. So I just want to understand, that's where I'm speaking also about the issues of time frame, because here I can say that if we are speaking about women, we are speaking about people, so we need to consider that issue. And on the issue of your request to PFL in the increase of the number of clubs from 16 to 18, why is it 18, not 20, 22, 24? What makes you to say 18, 16 to 18 on that issue of the increase of the on the women club? The other matter is that I've seen you've got challenges on your presentation, but there are no remedies on the challenges that you are having. So maybe if we can have the remedies. And the other matter is the distribution of the balls to the schools. So I think maybe you did consider the rural schools. I'll be happy if we can get the list of the schools. I can see that they were given to provinces. But if, I don't know if my memory, it will serve me well, we've got not more than 40,000 schools in South Africa. I believe each and every school has a ball. So if we are not having more than 40,000, we're having 50,000 balls. That means each and every school is supposed to have a ball. So I would really appreciate if you can, through our secretariat, we can get the list of the schools, not the provinces, to say the provinces we've got 10, so that we can know which schools have benefited on the issue of the balls. That's the question. So I will get a second bite if maybe. Let me leave for other members so that maybe they can. Oh, the last one, let me just check on the issue of the 52 master trainers were identified based on 52 Sasa region. Department of Basic Education gave permission to educators to attend the training. How many educators have attended that training? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Honorable Malomana, Honorable Soli.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to you. And other members, and
put on my jacket.
Yeah, go ahead. Honorable Mashobane and DJ Mashobane in tech acting capacity, and our guest DJ Mustafa leadership yoke. Chair, I try not to ask questions that was asked by other members so that it will also be cut. But yeah, first of all, we measure and rate the performance, the performance, the ranking, because Ebafana Bafana, because umhlaba wonke jikelele kakhulukazi Africa the sports code esithandwa kakhulu is soccer. So it's not that the failures of Bafana Bafana direct reflection of your leadership. Namsalo, I just want to be upfront, no German, you are not personal to any individual. But we've engaged with SAFA last year when there were issues and the we're pleased that the leadership of staff, the president, and then the chairperson of PSF were present and we engaged them. We're satisfied with the number of issues that were raised in that meeting, and also issues that were raised by South Africans in general.
Chair, I will start with the question that was asked by Honorable Manes, to the one, the proposal for the increase of a number of teams from 60 to 80.
Dr. Corvella last year told us that the reason why they were previously 18 and they decreased the number to 16. There is an issue of donors or sponsorship that it was because of that they decreased. I just want to know when they are proposing the increase, have they checked on the sponsorship and the reason why it was decreased? The first one, that was the first one. The second one is, when are you proposing to have 18 teams from 16 to 18? That's one. But Chair, few issues. I've seen in South Africa, we under 17 kept the tournament, the participation. I was happy with the level of though we didn't qualify to the World Cup, but I was happy the fact that we participated and the level of football that they showed here there. It gave me something to think about. But the question was, where is the under 17 women? Are we having anything soon with regard to all these developments in women football that are participating in these tournaments, international tournaments, like male soccer? Because we should be preparing for the under 19s or under 20s upwards for the next tournament, which I think the presentation talk to that. But I wish you to indicate where is women preparation and development with regards to that, and the preparation for this main team that performed very well for the next tournament, your preparation for that. I just want you to highlight that, Chair. Chair, when we're talking about development, because it concerns South Africa, we can't expect Bafana Bafana to perform miracles. It should start with development. In 2018, Honorable Mshoko, I make a comparison. I studied the development of the northwestern countries, African countries, not Europe. The northwestern countries, the Arab countries, and southern Sahara countries. South Africa was one of them. In Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, then Algeria, Morocco, and Egypt, those are Arab countries. The development they are called, Chair. In 2018, and because I was of the view that these countries, always qualify to the World Cup because they are talented. Until I started the development of those countries, it's not only the talent that they are showing in these international tournaments. It's the support from their governments and the stability in their soccer bodies, like SAFA. It's their development program. Particular Ghana was best then. I don't know. So no wonder why they always qualify. Yes, they have more talent than us, but we do have talent that can do better. If they are nurtured from the grassroots level upward. The presentation, Chair, is good. I don't know if the presentation is, if you read the presentation and you compare what is happening, the outcome, because it is the outcome that we want, and the outcome of these structures and the development of these structures and the long-term plan. We want the result, and the result will show when Bafana is playing. But if Bafana is failing even to qualify to play in the African tournament, Africa Cup of Nations, then it's a concern. It's not a concern for the government. It's a concern of the all South Africans that as a country that is highly rated globally, but we are failing to qualify to a big tournament like soccer in our own continent. That is a concern, and the concern will always be there. Chair, I'm comparing the Bafana, ne Banyana. is the team Banyana is successful because most of its players are playing abroad, and Bafana does not have many. I don't know how many Bafana players currently on our visa squad, our South Africa. Now, it shows that Bafana, Banyana is successful because many players as Banyana are playing abroad. But the money that we spend as government and SAFA in Banyana is less than the money we spend in Bafana, which means we don't get the outcome or the result vis-a-vis the budget that we spend on the, we don't get the outcome against the budget that we spend when we compare the women team and also the men's soccer. That is a concern that I have, which I hope you are dealing with it in your presentation. The presentation is very good, but the result, I don't know. Chair, another question that I would like, the issue of school sports, I think Honorable Maloman has talked about it, and I won't go there, but I'm sharing the very sentiment. That is where we can get the talent that we want if we want to achieve to participate in international tournament. But because your program started at primary school, I think we are getting there. I have no question, much of the question there, because the school sport is one of the areas that we were concerned about in the recent years, and that is why we are supporting. Disability Chair of all structures, I just wish to know, do your structures stable? Because it's one of the concerns of soccer lovers. If the structure is not stable, you don't expect a result. I'm not talking about SAFA at national level. I'm talking about all the structures that SAFA, because even if the structure SAFA national is stable, if provincial and local structures are not stable, then we won't achieve what we want to achieve as South Africa. I'll talk about women football, Chair, in general. I think in development, because the presentation talked about the women football also, and I've touched on it. The two last Chair, is the issue of officiating or the association of SAFA against the officiating of games. I once owned a team in AB Manchester League. I've seen many South Africans who are soccer lovers leave soccer because of corruption and
we have copied the stamp of Umzumane.
Yes.
So please, honorable members, I'm saving even your good sense. I'm not saying you must not ask questions, but I would love that you must all be brief to the point in order that you must get responses. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, Chair, the issue of the corruption on these officials, how are you dealing with that challenge? Because it's a challenge, not, in fact, it's a global challenge, but how is this phenomenon, how are you dealing with it? In the lower structures, my province, my local. Last one, Chair, is the issue of interference and corruption. You have not talked much about it in your presentation. How do you deal with the interference in particular? On the side of the agents, and also corruption in general in your structures, buying of people, buying of votes, and all sorts of those things. And you know, when I'm talking about corruption, I don't want to be specific on matters that I've come across with. Yeah, Salom Sambe. You will give us a second bite if it's cut sick on. But if we are talking too much, that's one sports code that I'm clashing with, because I play soccer.
No problem, honorable members. That's your role and your job to ask questions. I was saying that even if there are too many questions, but I would love that honorable members just to be brief to the point, and if it means that you can take take a second bite, if allowed. Honorable Sibir. She is the twin to Honorable Song.
Thanks, Chairperson. Greetings to everyone. And thanks for your presentation. We vision 2030 with regards with women empowerment. How we suffer empowering women soccer players to swell the ranks of clubs globally. With regards with soccer sponsors, how we suffer engaging private soccer sponsors to increase funding for women sports relative to soccer for men. And what is the progress of SAFA in realizing its set targets of 2018, such as the head of women's football and other aspects? Coach education. How long will the drafting of SAFA manuals for the CAFB and CAFA diploma, which is not up to CAF standard, take? Team preparation. Why had South Africa even participated if it had no preparations for matches? I thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Dennis.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity, and thank you for the presentation. I'm covered by many questions. I just got a few that I would like to follow up, Chairperson. But I want to say, Chairperson, it's only to this committee, SAFA, and to the rugby that I will make this statement. You know, the mandate of this department and of this committee is to unite our country, nation building, and to support through social coercion. But you know, in this country, post-apartheid, Chairperson, it still bothers me that we are playing sports under different names, Chairperson. One is called
Honorable. Our visitors, you are allowed to grab something and sit down. And I've seen they even take some boiling water and whatever outside. I'm sorry to do this to you. We didn't invite them to have something. You must just grab and sit down. We are allowed to do that. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, Honorable Dennis.
Chairperson, so I was saying that in this country where we are working hard on nation building and social cohesion, this parliament and this committee is responsible for that. But in this country, under the sports codes, we still have different names that we play under, as if we are not one country. You know, call ourselves Bafana, some Springboks, some Bajana, some Proteas. You know, it's not a good thing to continue like this, Chairperson. The Parliament and the Federation must have a discussion on this, and we must try to get to play sports under one banner, as one country, one South Africa. Chairperson, I want to just note that the constitution was changed, and I hope for the better. It refers to election of a president, but I hope that whatever the weaknesses there were and changes that were made was addressed, not to protect the president, but to have a more open, fair, democratic system in the election of the president. I also noted, as DDG Shumaya have commented on the report that was submitted in terms of the non-compliance, so I note that. I want to ask, and with the other members asking the Bafana's ability to stay competitive at previous levels. Now, it appears on the slide, Chairperson, that we are doing well with the youth under 19, on the 17s, and the development. Up to a point, we're doing well. And then there's a gap where we go into the professional side of our Africa or international. Then the results goes downwards. So, and I've heard all the all the efforts and the plans that is there, and I hope it will materialize. But I think it was also said by the CEO that after 94 we were up there in world ranks, and now we've taken a dip, and now we're struggling to get back to that level. So that gap is there, and I hope that through all the programs it will be addressed. I want to ask something about this comment about cheating. I want to know where is the problem about cheating on age when youth comes into the sports, because it's really promoting a culture of dishonesty, and it's not good for administration for our sports. So I don't know who's responsible, but it was cited as a serious problem, this cheating, and people say what on the age groups they must play. And I hope there can be a program to address that. Chairperson, in terms of the Vision 2030, which looks very promising with our plans, but again, I just wanted to confirm what is the current ranking of Tour of Bafana, and what is the plan in terms of our targets, how to move forward to 2026 and 2030. And then lastly, Chairperson, I want to, sir, I've got two more questions. I wanted to just to ask on the Safa House in the land, who owns it and who owns the FNB Stadium, and what proposals are on the table? I think that's a slide that speaks about ownership. What proposals are on the table? And then my last point, Chairperson, on the legal side, in the current financial year, I would like to know in the APP what amount is being planned or budgeted for legal expenses, because I also note in the slide there was a word used, and I'm not sure if it's the right word, infighting. I don't know what kind of infighting there is, because in my view there should be normal democratic processes that whatever we do, and if there's an opposing person or party, there is a democratic process to follow. So I'm not sure if we are now planning, budgeting for all this infighting, which are not democratic or not properly followed, and what are the causes then for this infighting. And I appreciate your openness and transparency on it, but I'm on the flag as a concern, and what is the solution to that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Daniel. Can I take this opportunity to give the leadership to share answering of questions, and then when the SAFA landed, I'll give it to the department, and then I will check follow-up questions to the members, I think.
Thank you very much, Chair. The Jersey matter is noted, Honorable Nishoma. On the on the issue of the NEC, I think partly I have alluded to the size, and I indicated who are involved there. I mean, what compose the NEC. But beyond that is that in South Africa we're having 9 provinces. And in the 9 provinces we have different regions. Some provinces are big, some are small in terms of size and all of that. So one of the things that has been taken into account around the representation of all these members at the national level, that per province you have 2 representatives, which is the chairperson and the deputy chair, who then makes it 18 from provinces. I will make an example of 2 provinces. KZN has 11 regions. So if you have one person representing that province, it will be be very difficult for that rep or provincial rep to move around that region. There are regions that he or she cannot cover.
Yeah.
So that is the reason that there was an introduction of two per province. So then you have the likes of Northern Cape province. You have Namakwa up there and the other regions that are up far away. The distance between these regions become a nightmare for one person to service the whole of the province. Then you have the PSL represented in the NEC. We have the chairman of the PSL being the vice president. Then you have three other members coming from the PSL, which makes them four in the NEC of SAFA. Then you have the National Executive Committee, the directly elected, if you may put it like that, which is the national list of members that form part. But on top of that, you have honorary members, former presidents of the association, Dr. Magiso Olifant, Professor Harina Bukau, and you have honorary members such as Grace Zulu, Mr. Mosese from the Free State, and you have, from the Free State you have two, Pax Muladedi and all of that. So I think that's the national executive. But if you compare to other countries, you might have a problem because the dynamics in various countries differs. And in our case, you have the complexities that I have just mentioned. On the issue of the CEO, we have to be clear that the CEO, when he resigned, then I'm going to start with the appointment and deal with the other issues. When he resigned, then we have a structure called the Emergency Committee, which is empowered to take decisions between the NEC, particularly on instances like that the head of administration is gone, you can't have an autopilot. SAFA has put itself as one of the leaders for the World Cup, so we can't go wrong there. So the Emergency Committee was called to deal with the matter, which in the matter then the Emergency Committee resolved to appoint the next in line in terms of the hierarchy of SAFA, which was the COO, to replace the outgoing CEO. And you'll remember that we ran a process. The current CEO was part of the candidates that applied for CEO when we appointed Mr. McLeod. And he was one of the last, how many was it? Sorry.
Five.
Yeah, that number. But I'm going to talk to three, which were considered by the NEC. So she was amongst the three. Of course, the NEC decided to appoint Advocate Mutlande. So on the basis of that, the emergency says, Emergency Committee, that we have a World Cup to beat, and there are a number of the milestones that we have to achieve as an association. We then resolve at the emergency level to appoint the CEO, given the powers we have in the Emergency Committee, or the Emergency Committee's powers. But subsequent to that, through a round robin, we then consulted the NEC, the entire NEC, which the NEC also concurred with the emergency committee. 80% of the members agreed with us. 20%, I think they didn't participate. It's an abstention, if you call it, which is allowed. That it's either you are against, or you are for, or you abstain from the process, but it's part of the process. So 80% of the NEC agreed to the appointment. Now, the resignation of the CEO. We take note that there were media leaks or whatever that was presented in the media, which the same CEO clarified, because on the day when we introduced the current CEO, Advocate Mutlante was there in that press conference, and he clarified the point that he wants to clearly distance himself from what was leaked in the media. It is not his letter. His letter is the one that he has submitted to the president of the association, reasons being personal reasons that prompted him to leave the association. So from the point of what was in the media and what we have, it's two things. But the CEO, the outgoing CEO, was clear to indicate to us and the party in general, because it was in a media conference where he indicated that he distanced himself from that letter or the reasons punted by the media. So I think that is the position in terms of why the CEO, the outgoing CEO, decided to leave. It is personal, and we respected that. And the emergency committee accepted the resignation letter. I don't know, Chair, whether on the basis of that we might have not been prepared to bring the resignation letter in the committee, but there's nothing to be hidden around that, because the resignation letter of the CEO is clear, and he was there to talk to the public, give confidence to the public in relation to his leaving to from SAFA. And we are clarifying again. These are not the, as Mr. Honorable Mthloma indicated, with the previous CEOs, the reasons why they left, it's not the same as what Mr. Mkande indicated. We know that Mr. Mamul left because the contract ended, plus the issue of the age was came into effect, but the contract ended. That's the issue. Mr. Mukwena left because the NEC resolved to appoint him for 3 months, in which in that process we were supposed to accelerate the process of appointing a CEO of the association. So that is those are the reasons they left. The other issues, I think we have dealt with them in a manner that well done. But I'm just confining myself of the reasons they left. I'll leave it at that, Chair. The legacy trust, as far as we're concerned, the legacy trust is closed. We can't tell whether there's money or not, but the legal process had been dealt with, done. I want to understand and take it for granted that the close-up report to us maybe previously. If not, we will definitely submit the close-up report. And then
for the chair? I think there's a contradiction when you respond to me saying, I can't tell if there's an account. If something is closed, there must not be an account.
I'm saying, in the question, because he is responding to your question. You have got a right in the next term saying that I'm not happy about that response, not just disrupt what he was responding to.
Okay. Yeah, so I was just saying to Chair that the legacy trust as far as we're concerned is closed, but CFO will expand to that. On the issue of Amanda, I will request the administration to deal with it. I don't know, Chair, in terms of the issues raised by Mr. Honorable Nhlongo on the criminal issues of the president, whether we are at liberty and suffer to deal with such things. And you can't see that in our report because it's clear that the question might go to South African police to give whatever, if there are any cases. But it will not be proper that we capture it in our reports that a person in the executive is attending his issues there. But as far as we're concerned, we don't have that. On the PSL boycott, all of us, whether members of the public, including SAFA, we learned from the media that the PSL decided to boycott our Indaba plus the Comoros. We only learned that, and subsequent to that, we requested our CEO to write to the PSL. To then get the reasons why such had happened and all of that. So we are yet to get the response from them. So for now, it will be hearsays and rumors, and I don't think it's proper to come up with rumors here and or whatever hearsays. But as far as we're concerned, the PSL is our member, a special member. We still have relations with them. We have noticed that during the Derby, the president was there at the FNB watching the game. And of course, the tickets you get them from the PSL as SAFA. But the relationship is still there because every day there is a person in the at the center of every game of PSL called a referee, and referees are supplied by SAFA. So as far as we're concerned, that relationship still exists, lest we then get something else out of the letter we have written to them to indicate really what is the issue. The liaising meetings after that incident, we are yet to sit, and it's because of the schedules of both our president, who is the chair of the liaison committee, and the stakeholders involved. But I must indicate that there's no bad blood between SAFA and PSL. Okay, the time frame. I think we will provide the time frames, but our strategic submission to FIFA, we have the Vision 2030, but FIFA said we must also confine ourselves to now and 2026, so that we are able to then take stock. But further details will then be shared with the committee on specific issues. You'll appreciate that we are fresh from the Indaba. There's still a lot of work that is happening, particularly to be precise and be specific on the matters that are tabled there. I think the issue around PSL 16 to 18 teams, we are still engaging with the PSL. We can't say it's a decision yet. And you remember that the number was 18 and it was reduced. And this was reduced because of circumstances at the time. But as we move forward, we can see that we have a problem. The pool for Bafana Bafana is shrinking. I think earlier we have dealt with a slide in our presentation where we indicated that in 1991, 24 teams times 11 players, it was 264 that were having as a pool for the national team. 1992, the number was 242. 1993, 220. 1994 to 1998, the number reduced to 198. And 2003 to current, we have reduced to 16 teams, and the number has shrunk. And there are a number of factors that there is a rule for PSL to register foreign players, but there are those that are neutralized to the South Africans, which are then seen or regarded as South African. But if you look at the number of Bafana Bafana players, or players that are going to be eligible to play for Bafana Bafana, the pool is in one team, you'll find that there are only four on the field of play who are qualifying for that purpose. So we are trying to say the whole world, if you look at the numbers, some leagues are having 20 and all of that, but we have to be realistic that we can't just say we want 20 or 22 or 24. We have to move. And our leagues also, we are not going to demand from the PSL while our leagues, you will then understand that APC Motsepe in provinces, we have 18 teams. And so is the Hollywood Bears, who are moving towards that direction, that currently we have 16, and there was a submission by the president in the last Indaba and the NEC plus Congress that we have to also increase there, so that you don't demand others to increase whilst you are not increasing. The other issue is that why Bafana Bafana is a bit not performing, and you have from the under 20 going down are performing, including Banyaka. And I think the simple reason is that all of those leagues are under the direct control of SAFA. If Banyana has an international match, international games or international engagements, it's easy for SAFA to stop the league so that we allow the national team. But with Bafana Bafana, there are a number of factors that come into play. In one slide, Mr. Maremi indicated that we have to still engage PSL to have more days And of course, when you go to PSL, they have other obligations, whether with the sponsors, the broadcasters, and all of them. So why would all of those that are under our direct control perform? I think that's the reason that the association is able to say, because it is directly controlling those leagues, including the Hollywood Bet Super League. So that is the issue. The HPC, the under 17 issue, the HPC has 15 girls currently, and there is a clear resolution that we have to increase to 25. That is for girls. So that we then have a preparations for all these qualifiers that are there. We didn't qualify for the other the AFCON for women under 17, but we participated at the COSAFA level, but we didn't qualify. So there is a national team that is there. But we are putting more efforts towards that. The preparations for boys, we have alluded that we have what we call the interprovincial championship coming in July, where we are going to select for the first time the under 15 national team. That is in preparation for the next qualifiers and the World Cup that is coming ahead. We want to introduce our players at an early age at an international stage, so that by the time they will play for qualifiers, they are not short. They are used to playing internationally and all of that. That is the early preparation and the plans that we were putting in. The issues that particularly on the issue of the different names, I think there's a history in this country. But of course, the discussions will always be welcomed where we engage as a sports movement, because it cuts across of different sporting codes, which AFCON is at the center of all this coordination and all of that. But we should also keep into account that there's history and why we have the different names, Bafana Bafana, the Springboks, and the Proteas, and all of that. Maybe like other countries, we can consider using one name and all of that, but we'll fairly engage once that discussion is put onto the table and all of that. The age cheating, I think it's clear. South Africa does not have that kind of a problem because of the systems we have, home affairs systems, but you will always from time to time realize that when we go to these age group tournaments outside the country, whether it's CAF or COSAFA, many countries are disqualified. Because of that, the recent is Sudan. It's because we do due diligence at home. We are lucky that we have the systems, home affairs, but there's MRI scanner that also helps. So we test our players whilst we are here. At the level of development. In the current form, we have MySafa, which is linked to Home Affairs. When you punch that ID, it tells you this is so and so. Full names, because most of our players at a young age, they have ID numbers and all of that. So there are systems. They might not be enough, but at least as a country for now, we are not having that much of a problem going forward. The Bafana Bafana is currently ranked number 12 in the continent, and FIFA were ranked 66. So there is a movement, and we have clear objectives in terms of how we have to fare. We want to be in the top 10, and we want to move towards towards being a leading team in the continent, and move to top 6, top 50 in the world. So we are realistic in terms of our approach, and if you look at the next World Cup, the size of the teams in the World Cup has increased, but also it brings changes in the African continent, that more teams are now, it's going to be more than 5, then it means we have to do well so that at least we are in the top 8 or top 9. When we are drawn for the next qualifier, we know that we would avoid the rivals in our group so that we are able to qualify. I think with that, Chair, I will hand over to the other members to come in.
Yes, thanks, Chair. I just want to, there's a couple which has been left out, which I just want to respond to. But suffice to say that what we owe the committee is our Indaba report, because that will cover most of the questions asked, and this detail, a lot of detail is in there, and it will eliminate and also let the committee also have a better understanding of the workings and the way forward for SAFA, and that we will have to do soonest. Like I think the CEO said, we've submitted that now also for FIFA as a first draft, so it's in draft form. So when you receive it in the draft form, also remember it is still changing or update in terms of what really happens. So that is fine. That's the first point I want to make. The second point I want to make is that on the question as to how stable are our structures, it is like any civil society organization, where there are various forces which influence how civil society responds, and that is also within SAFA in itself. We do have regular congresses at LFA, regional, provincial, and we had a successful congress also, where most of our resolutions went through unopposed, if not all of them. So according to our take, we are quite stable as an organization from the various levels, but you will find those odd ones happening at lower at the other levels as well. And then how do we deal with corruption, especially when it comes to officiating? Like in any sport, you can put the structures in place, but then you will find the odd one. And that we do have. But to mitigate that and to combat it, we do have a very strong ethics committee to deal with that. There's a referee who has been sentenced now, has been put away for bribing, has been put away. So that is regularly taking place. And we have match commissioners on each and every match, and they report back. There's also video material which also follows that. So if there are any complaints, we will just pull that and we will deal with that immediately. I can maybe also say that last night I received a call from one of the clubs that's going to play now in the playoffs. And they're also worried, and they raise these things with us, because SAFA appoints the referees. So we will take it up with the necessary authorities, and if you also have concerns like that, bring it to the attention of SAFA, and we will take it up with the necessary authorities. But we do have structures in place to deal with that, Jay. Then, the point about the buying of votes, etc., we are not really sure about that. But we do have an ethics committee, and if there's anything like that, it can be reported. Various matters get reported to our ethics committee, and they investigate that to the fullest. There's a point that has been made earlier, and some of our members frown on it. And I want to better understand, because the press, if it's in part of our presentation, but I haven't seen it, it's part of the department's one. The constitution was changed. How to elect the president? The constitution was changed as it gets changed regularly, not for one change in itself. So there were many changes brought, and not only that one, and that's the point I want to make, Chair. It was not only one, because a wrong message might leave this room. Then, the other point about the names, why do we not play under one name? I think it has been also by a leader of delegation raised, but we can learn also from other countries. You go, you get the All Blacks, the netball team is called the Ferns, the cricket team is called the Black Caps, and so you continue. It is something which sticks to that team in itself, and they get branded accordingly. I am understanding about building a nation, but that is also how New Zealand have built their brand. So it is not something which is unique to South Africa. It is something which is global also, and other countries also does it. And they do well. They do well as a nation, and they build their nation accordingly. So what I'm asking is that we need to understand that along those lines. The one, and I think this is a big concern, sir, honorable member, why are the players taking a dip when it comes to after under 19? And that is something, that's why I started out, Chair, but it's important that we share the document with the members, because that is captured within the Indaba document, how to capture that talent, that it do not go to waste. Because some of them tore abroad, and there's a system in place now. The presentation has shown that we have two talent ID scouts, which is now full-time onto them. However, we have also an international online system which tracks each and every player when they leave the country. So they are no longer there in the Bunduland. We know about them. In the current under 17 team, I think there's about 4 or 5 that we have brought. And you know, all might not know, but I'm a Liverpool supporter. But the Liverpool captain is also about, because he and his brother Sheldon from East London, they have now also got their citizenship, so they will also be in line now. So we do have systems now in place. We didn't have it, but now we work towards it. But key is that we need to give you the Indaba document to have a broader and better understanding about SAFA. Thanks. The others?
Yeah, I will hand over to the CEO and the CFO.
Thank you. Thank you, VP. I will address the matter of Amanda Dlamini. Amanda Dlamini was appointed as the commercial and marketing manager on the 1st of July 2021, and she resigned in August 2022, just immediately after the Women's AFCON in Morocco. We had an amicable separation with her, and she went on to focus on and grow in the football analysis space in SuperSport, because she was working for SuperSport while she was working for us as well. And she had gone to AFCON as an analyst, so she wanted to grow in that space. And then on the head of women's football, or the women's football manager, we had over 300 applications from various people for that post in and outside the country. We have, through our HR department, we shortlisted candidates that met the minimum requirements with a strong background in football, and the interviews will be actually happening next week. So that's where we are as far as that post is concerned.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I am going to respond to a few questions that were posed by the honourable members. The first one relates to the FIFA loan and the exchange rate loss and the figures that were presented by the honourable member. So the reason why we applied for a FIFA loan is that in 2020 we had COVID, which affected the whole world. The whole world came to a standstill, and FIFA came up with some relief measures to assist the members to restart football, because football, all activities were at a standstill. So the FIFA loan was one of the relief measures which FIFA introduced, and the loan was interest-free. We did not have to repay cash, but FIFA will recover from our future grants. So we found the loan to be quite attractive for us to restart football, because during COVID, some of the sponsors had stopped giving us their funding because there was no activity. So there was no reason for them to continue giving us funding. So that is the main reason why we applied for the FIFA loan, and we used specifically to restart our national teams, to restart our competitions, to continue funding the administration cost which we had to pay even though there was no football activities, because you still had to pay salaries, you still had to pay for electricity and so forth. So that is the reason why we applied for the FIFA loan. But the FIFA loan that we applied for was is in US dollars. So it was 1.5 million US dollars. So when we applied and received it at that point, 1.5 million US dollars was equivalent to 22 million rand. And at the end of the last financial year, we then do a revaluation to say this 1.5 million that we owe FIFA, you have 1.5 million dollars, how much is it now in rands depending on the exchange rate? So then you will have an exchange loss or an exchange gain. Because the rand has been losing value, at the end of the last financial year, we incurred an exchange loss of 3 million. So it's just a calculation. It's not that we had to pay FIFA an extra, but we had to revalue that loss. So that's where your 25 million comes in and the 3 million exchange loss. So that is that. And how much do we pay the women players? So as SAFA, we took a decision to say that we are going to apply pay parity. And that means whatever we pay the male footballers is the same that we are going to pay the female footballers. So since last year, Banyana Banyana, they get paid the same amount as the Bafana Bafana. You know, the qualifying bonuses, the match bonuses, the friendly match bonuses, the daily allowances, what we pay Bafana is exactly the same as what we pay Bafana. So we started applying the pay parity principle since last year. The only area where there's a difference is the professional league, the PSL, and the national league, the women's national league. Our women's national league is not professional yet. So we are in the process of getting trying to get funding so that we can professionalize the women's national league. So once the women's national league is professionalized, then we'll also look at paying a pay parity between your professional league for men and professional league for women. But in terms of Banyana, Bafana, we pay them exactly the same. Maybe just to add, even the way we treat Bafana and Banyana players is also the same. Bafana players used to travel business class, and Banyana players used to travel economy. Now it's the same. They all travel business class. Bafana, Banyana players. Banyana players used to stay at our National Technical Center, and we were saying we are not ready yet for Bafana to stay at the Technical Center. Bafana were staying at the hotels. Now Banyana players, they also stay at the hotels, and Bafana players. So we're treating them exactly the same. There was a question around how much is left in the legacy trust. The legacy trust was closed in March 2023, and everything is closed. There is no amount left in the bank account because the funding came to an end. And the funding was over almost a 10-year period, and the funding now came to an end, and the bank account was closed. The final accounts were audited, They were submitted to the founding partners of the trust, which is FIFA and SAFA. So they received the final audited financial statements, and the final report was issued, and the trust was closed with the master. So the legacy trust does not exist anymore, and all the final reports were handed out. As our head of delegation indicated, maybe we need to share the close-out report with the honorable members. So that's regarding the legacy trust. And there was a question around what are the other outstanding litigation cases. All the litigation cases that we have in our annual financial statements, there has not been any change. So the litigation cases that we have, they relate to labor issues. You know, when people get retrenched, they take us to the CCMA. That's number one. And then number two, they relate to the election. So each time we have elections, they are disputes. People go to court and so forth and so on. So from the previous election, we've got three cases that are outstanding. And then the last one relates to our dispute with schools, the entity that used to run schools football, SASFA. So that matter is still going on. SASFA lost the case. We won the case. We are just now trying to recover the cost from SASFA. So those were the outstanding cases, and we don't have any other new cases that arose after that. Then there was a question around the ownership of the SAFA House land. So I think the last time we were here, we made an appeal to the honorable members to assist us with this case. SAFA House is built on a land that belongs to Public Works. So at any point, the landlord can tell us to remove our structure, which is not an ideal situation. So we've been negotiating with Public Works to say, can they do a subdivision and give us ownership of the land where our building is? And it has been taking a long time. You know, when we negotiate with one minister, then there's a change in ministers, then there's a new minister, then we must start afresh. I think the last engagement was with the Honorable Minister Patricia de Lille, and then there was a change. So now we must engage the new minister again. But it has been going on for a number of years. So we appeal again if you can assist us in trying to get Public Works to release that portion to us. And then FNB Stadium is owned by City of Johannesburg, which again we also previously appealed for your assistance. SAFA used to own FNB Stadium before the renovation, before the World Cup. We then approached government to say we need to upgrade FNB Stadium in preparation for the 2010 World Cup because billions were required to upgrade FNB Stadium, and as SAFA we did not have those funding. That's why we approached government. Then government said to us, in terms of the rules, the government rules, they can't upgrade a property that it does not own. Therefore, we need to hand over ownership to the government so that they can upgrade the stadium, which we did, and they upgraded FNB Stadium. So now we're saying, please then can we have the stadium back? and we are facing challenges in that regard. So if the honorable members can assist us to get the stadium back, thank you very much for upgrading the stadium. Then there was a question around how is SAFA engaging sponsors to fund women's football? This is an ongoing project for us. On a daily basis, we are in the market looking for funding so that we can get sponsors for women's football. Because the only way we can bring women's football to the same level as men is it's through funding. If we don't have the funding, we can only do so much. So we are in the market on a daily basis looking for sponsors so that we can get funding for women's football. And the last question I think that I need to respond to is the question that why are our teams going to tournaments without preparation? That is actually not correct, that we send teams to tournament without preparation. Our teams get preparation before they go to tournament. But however, we admit that perhaps we should give them more preparation. Because what happens is before a tournament, we have training camps for our teams where they prepare for the tournament. And we try and secure friendly matches for them so that they can have friendly matches before they go to the tournament. But the difficulty that we experience is, number one, at times it's difficult to get friendly matches. Now we're trying to get Banyana to the World Cup, and we are negotiating with a number of countries to so that we can play friendly matches. So it's not as easy as it appears to get a friendly match with opposing countries so that you can prepare for tournaments. And then the second is the availability of players. With junior teams, you find that these players are going to school. So it's not easy just to bring the players to camp for a month when the kids are supposed to be at school. So it's for those reasons that we cannot prepare as much as we want to, but it is not correct to say that we send teams to tournaments without preparation. I think I've covered the areas that I needed to. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The last response regarding the, there was a question around Amanda. Who's Amanda? Who responded? Okay. I thought it was not responded. And then in terms of the administration of the league as well, there was a question around the administrators of the league. We have administrators of the league, all leagues, starting from LFA, local football associations. And then we have coordinators there, province, with regional, we have regional coordinators running the leagues, province, as well as province. National, we have a competition officer in the office running the Hollywood Bet League. So we have administrators responsible for leagues. And then the KFBA redrafting, I think that one, the TD there is currently busy redrafting the manuals. So as we speak now, the manuals are drafted. And then the schools league distribution of balls, it's not possible to give each school one ball because it will defeat the purpose of the project. Remember, we said the purpose of the project is mass participation. So we can't have one school sharing one ball. So it's not possible. So now what we did, we gave schools registration forms. They submitted forms. And after those forms, the provincial steering committee will select schools, and it will depend in terms of the financial viability of that school. We can't give module school balls, already they have money, so we look to those schools that they really need the balls. They really need the balls. So after that program will run. And then 52 master trainers. We train 52 master trainers. The number is 52. We train 52 master trainers, and those trainers are the trainers. So they are there to train other educators to implement the school's football program. Thank you very much.
Yes, just the addition you must add, and that was the question: how many were teachers? They were all teachers.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. I think there was. We left the issue of the global picture of our members, the region. I think our regions are functioning. I think we only have one region in the
Eastern Cape that we are still working on, Amatole region, and it's because of governance issues that they are not in good standing, but we have appointed the former president of the association, who is the honorary member, Mr. Milik Olifant, to take care of the region and conclude the process. And the other issue is that out of the regions, football is playing from the juniors to the seniors at the men's regional leagues. But we have put a condition for regions to receive the grant from the national office that each region is a must that they have a women's regional league. If they don't have, we take 25% of the grant they supposed to get. So we are particular and we're clear in terms of that. So that is what is happening there. And of course, our regions are working, though there are budgetary problems, there's no money. Some of the regions are in the rural areas, and we know the challenges there, moving from one village to the other and all of that. But the fire is kept burning there. We hope for the best in the future when the corporate South Africa come into the space. Chair, the other issue we wish to indicate as the last point, I think it was raised by two honourable members. The instability in our organisation, or even our members' structures and all of that, plus issues of elections. All organizations that are democratic in nature, during the period of elections, there will always be issues. I think that should be appreciated, that people have ambitions, and we, unfortunately, we cannot control anybody's ambition. And South Africa, as it is, there is a recourse for every person who feel aggrieved. So sometimes we don't see it as an instability. People exercising their democratic rights, if they are not happy, to then say, I am taking this matter to court if it's a court issue, those who likes court, but there will always be other internal remedies like appealing, dispute resolution, arbitration, and all of that. We don't want to be seen as people who are stifling democracy in the organization, and even stumbling on the people's rights, that if there's this thing, nobody must challenge us. It's upon an individual or even structures as our members. If they are not happy about anything, they will always exercise their right, and others choose to go to court. So in a democratic organization, that is expected. But in the main, that must not deviate our focus. We are focused in being the provider of football in the country. That is our preoccupation, that we should be able to work towards making sure that the country is playing football and also contribute towards the nation building and so on, social cohesion. So all of those issues are part of the process, and we have an appreciation of such. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I give it to the doctor at TG?
Chair, there were no particular questions addressed to the department. We have noted the issue of the Indaba, Soccer Indaba, that also
was indicated by Honorable Mhlongo, that he had actually also raised it with us informally before the meeting started. I think it's a matter that we just, because we know it was planned before and there were things that overtook that particular plan. I think it's something we'd want to take back so that we can look at it also with the existing leadership that we have within the department, just to look at how we move forward. I'm talking about the one that was planned by the department. I'm not talking about the one that SAFA was making reference to. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. Now I'm allowing the last round of the follow-up questions. As if you look at our the agenda, we're supposed to adjourn, but we cannot if we're still having follow-up questions. Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Romani, Honorable Dennis, Honorable Sibiya, in that order, we must just brief to the point that we must have answers.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I want to have an open and honest discussion. For the first time, I'm engaging you honestly. Last time, we did not have an open and honest discussion. You are attacking. I'm talking to SAFA, you know yourself. You are protecting. Today, I'm CFO, you are honest with finances. But before, you will protect. I think maybe in future we must not even invite the president for us. No, it can be many times. For us to have this engagement and honest discussion. That's my view, Chair. We've never had this. This is the first. I've been in this parliament for more than 8 years in this committee. This is the first honest conversation in and out.
That's the question. President, answering even the question of the off of whatever in a lighter note.
I'm coming to that. But I'm saying, Chair, honestly, this is, I've never, I'll tell the minister, maybe the change of heart. You know, last time you took me to court, SAFA.
What?
You took me to court. What? You waste taxpayers' money for me to question you. I had to defend myself. No, no, no. It's because that is the meeting that I told you, which you are defending. And I've got a freedom of speech when I'm here and when I say it. And I'll say it again. And
this is our first time hearing that our member was taken to court. We are noting that. But let's go on with the follow-up questions.
Yeah.
And what we are saying, we have noted the upload of what they've done. We had 20 questions, 25 questions, Honorable Zond, but you were patiently listening.
Mm-hmm.
I do support what you are saying, that the answers are quite well answered.
But I want to be honest to you. When I question, it's not personal. It's about the development of South Africa, especially sports, especially soccer. I've played soccer now. And one of the things that I hated most, this is a democratic dispensation, but this soccer is not number one on management, on governance. It's not. It's clear that... The question is, but I wanted to say, Chair, now this is another honest question. In democratic societies, you have these debates before Congress. You've used plus minus 21,000 to give all your NEC members before the Congress. There was money. Was that money budgeted for? There was money given to each member, which is 50 plus minus 500,000. I had a statement and I thought you'll attack me again, send me to court, and you didn't. You left it because it's there. You gave each member 5 plus minus 500. Now that is not a democratic process. You use money for manipulation, for you to be biased towards each other. I'm honest to you, when you take me to court, I'll protect myself. I know this. Now, why did you use that money? Towards election? Towards election? You're saying it's bonuses for MEC members. That money must, now I can tell you, that money was public money, which was used, must be used, CFO, it must be used for administration. But you paid your members. Now what's the 21 million plus minus 21 million budgeted for you, for your members on your annual budgeting process? Another follow-up question. I think we agreed with our members, which we must get a letter to get the missed, I need to have it, Babuzwani here. Just, you know, the media will give this scenario. You must justify that. Now how can I defend that as a member of parliament? Because there is perception that Mambo and Mokoena left because of these issues. Not the camera, there was no camera, but there were those issues when you check them. Now I'm saying, if you can get that letter, and for information, I put it to this, it must be minutes. I have the letter. We're doing our oversight work. Now we want to get that letter. Yes, it's justifiable to say the former CEO was there. He didn't say much. He said, I distanced myself. Only that. Nothing much, not what you were telling me. Now I'm saying to you, Chair, we need a letter.
Honourable members, I will ask other members who are going to do follow-up. I've asked you to be brief to the point. We're running off time, 12:15, and we need answers. And all of you members, we called the meeting on Friday, and thank you that we are all here, but I know that our honorable town, they must fly down to Johannesburg and the rest. So I will ask honorable members to be brief to the following members to the point.
Why the 2020 Vision 2022 was not implemented fully? You did not tell me. I think that was the question I've asked. It was not implemented fully. There were gaps. Why? And did you take those gaps to 2030 vision, so to say? The Soka Inaba is covered. I think, Chair, the other issue that I wanted to ask regarding the closing report of the illegacy trust, I think we need that. And we must, you were talking about the precinct, Fun Valley. Under 17 and others were going there. Like, I do my own oversight. They go there, they visit there. But you are saying now, Banyana is going to, when did it start for them to go to hotels? Banyana. Because they were there before, unless you give me the time frame and I'll say with the CFO, you're quite right. And what is the status of Fun Valley? Because it's still that money's there, money's used, but you go there physically. It's still that, yes, the building was bought, but the actual vision that you gave us and the plan, it's not there. But there was legacy. Let's be honest, the picture glossy report will have this, the fund is now gone in March, as you're saying, but the implementation of the outcome is poor. I don't want to share with the meeting of men pending on the floor.
It's
on Jolly, actually. Kodapas 1. In 5 minutes. What is the chair? Unkulbe not on the Davis. Nkata, a follow up question. Chair, another issue that I wanted to find out, and let's have an open, I think my colleague said sometimes the preparation is slow. We're going for Olympic, you take our sportsmen and women a month before to the camp. The preparation is less. We're going for Olympic now. You'll only assemble them within a month going before that. Now, the preparation is less. I'm just saying maybe let's have come up with the thing with the preparation. I think we must look into that. The month is not a good thing. You assemble them, next month you are playing. It's not a... Now I'm saying let's look on into that. The coach, your constitution, I think the department gave us a pitch and we know.
is for election of a president. But now, at the end of the day, there was an age issue that you raised that Mambo left early. But you have a coach who's older than 70. There's a contradiction. What you do on your left, you do it on your right. That's why we need soccer in our department. Let's talk this out. The coach is more than 70, but Mambo has an excuse to say he's over age. Now, what are you telling us? Last one from my honorable member. All vice president, Babu Zwane, who are young football president, all these vice presidents, I'll name them, okay, let me not name them, the whites and all of them, there were 10 vice presidents. Only Ivan Khoza survived. Only. All of them are gone. Now, what is the reason? That's why I said to you, the department, Nani and Estelligase, was the change. The Senate, I need a copy. What is the actual change of election of the president, Yesafa? And then we'll take it from there. And I thank you for having a discussion honest, and I expect you to respond honestly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mshongo. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me appreciate, because CFO has answered one of my questions, because on his statement on the financial that about the loss of 2.9 million, now I do understand it was during the issue of COVID. Now I do understand that one. But the other question is that what is the total amount or what is the total cost of your court cases? How much have you used for your court cases? And my request, it will be the last one on SAFA Technical Center, where you speak that there's an urgent attention that is needed for the maintenance. Can it be prioritized? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Maloman. Honorable Police, Chapter 6. It is with regard to the Technical Center infrastructure. Can the FIFA funding be utilized to ensure that we have proper infrastructure as well as maintenance for utilization, I think.
Thank you.
Chairperson, just one question, I appreciate it. It's very important because there was an appeal made to this committee, so I would like to respond to that. That's about the stadium and SAFA house. So all I want to ask that SAFA present their document to our department. I'm not sure how far the department is involved in it, so that they can brief us how we can and assist us, how this committee, how to come to a conclusion as to engage with this request that was made. That's all I want to say. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honourable Member.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair.
They have been correcting me that I'm a safe vice president.
If I had a vote, I would say must be
thank you very much, Chair. We must indicate that we SAFA is not allergic to being accountable. I think we understand the environment we exist in which we exist in, that our public demands accountability at all times. I think the CFO will deal with the issue of 21 million, but as an NEC member, I have never received them. And we always read on papers, and because we are family men, then the wife will always ask, where's the 500? Because you didn't use it yet. So
I think in context he will explain that, but it is unfortunate that what is in the media is not correct, because NEC members, particularly in the last Congress, didn't vote. And what is depicted that money is used for vote buying, so that NEC members can vote for whoever that. So I don't think it's truth. It's not truth, and that's unfortunate. But we are here to also explain that part. The issue of the CEO letter, we're taking note of that. And why the vision had failed or didn't have a full implementation, I think there are a number of factors, but the highlight out of the vision is the women's football. Women's football has grown so much, and we have achieved a lot out of this vision. And I think our challenge is that in some instances we will have a plan to do certain things, but there are always prohibiting factors for one reason, that on the male part, particularly Bafana, the issue of team preparation becomes key. And we don't have that luxury of time to prepare. Honorable Mhlongo says a month is short notice, but the prevailing circumstances dictate that we prepare in short notice, because during the other time it's not FIFA break, we can't get players. We only get them during the FIFA break. And they have obligations in teams and all of that. And some of our players are playing abroad. You can't just willy-nilly call those boys if it's not the FIFA break. So that is the environment in which we exist. And at a junior level, it's just that we are always mirrored about the premier team, which is Bafana Bafana. But there's a lot of work that has been achieved during the period at the junior level. We have attended World Cups with the under 17, under 20. We have been into the Olympics with both the Banyana and the under 23. First of its kind in the African continent, where both boys and girls qualifies for the Olympics. It's very rare if you look at other countries, even in Europe. If boys are there, normally girls will not be there. But South Africa achieved that during the period. So Vision 2022 is not a total failure, if I may say. But those elements that we feel that we have not done enough, we have taken them to Vision 2030. But on top of that is that where we have achieved, we don't want to drop the ball. We want to accelerate and become even more a global player in terms of that. We will definitely provide the close-up report. And on the technical training center, there's a lot of work that has gone in because during the process we have training fields there. It means now we don't have to hire training venue for the teams. They practice there and all of that. So less money is spent in hiring and all of that. But of course we are open for a lot of improvement and all of that, and I think as part of the plan going forward, we will indicate how we should be able to deal with these things. And the honourable member had indicated that
this money we get from FIFA, if we can channel it towards the National Training Center, for it to be proper and better utilized, maybe in the future even Bafana and Banyana can also utilize it, and we then don't spend money in the hotels. and of course, the issue of the coach, I think if you look at what we are talking about, the technical space, unfortunately, you'll find that maybe the coaches you want are at that level. But here we're talking about the administration. I mean, the technical space, I take it like the political space, where even the over 60 So, but administratively, the policy is clear. And those are your technical skills that we need, and that is why we go to that bracket. Maybe the comparison is a bit not fair. Issue of the vice president, it's a democratic space. You get elected or you don't get elected. Now, if we're going to spin issues and say I was removed because of 1, 2, 3, it's immaterial, because it is not the NEC that is voting, it is the membership. And 52 regions plus 10 associate members and a special member exercise their right, and they choose who then comes into the national executive. So it is a matter that we ought to then understand. And of course, those who lose this in the process of elections will have issues. You go to any organization, there are reasons why I have not won. And ordinarily, those reasons will not be me. Those reasons will be Mr. Bailey or somebody else and all of that. So it's natural why we have such. I think the maintenance and the FIFA funding, I've covered it, but the CFO will come in. And as I depart, I want to request that we don't refer it to FANBELI. It's a SAFA National Training Center or Technical Center. Because sometimes it gives a wrong message, FANBELI, and what we are doing, it's not related. I think the chair will remember that it was overemphasized in those workshops and congress. But we are happy about the engagements, and I think I will hand over to the CEO and the members to answer the few questions left.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The 21 million which was paid to the NEC members is fake news. There is no such amount which was paid to the NEC members. We also saw the media articles, and you know, we responded to them in detail. But what are the facts? The facts are, as SAFA, I think just like any other sporting body or any other organization, we pay NEC members what is known as honorarium. So the NEC members don't get salaries, they get honorarium, which is approved by the members at the Congress. So it's the members who approve the honorarium, and a submission is made by the Remuneration Committee to the members at Congress. And the Remuneration Committee, they did a survey to see what is the market paying as director's fees or honoraria. And our members, we're transparent about it. The honoraria that we have been paying is 124,000 per year. That's it. when you do a comparative study with cricket or rugby, you will see that they pay much more than the figure that we're talking about here. So we, in terms of the way we then pay that honoraria to the members, it depends on our cash flow. So if we do not have enough funds at that point, we don't pay the NEC members, which means SAFA will owe the NEC members. So each time when our cash flow is looking okay, we then make part payments to the NEC members. So if there's any payment that is done to NEC members, it's an honoraria which is due to them, and that honoraria would have been duly approved by the members at Congress. So the 21 million, that's fake news. And then when did Banyana start stop using Fun Valley? It's more than 2 years ago. They have not stayed at the National Technical Center. My apologies. They have not stayed at the National Technical Center for over 2 years. They've been staying at hotels. What is the status of Fun Valley? We have done my apologies. The honorable member started with that name. What is the status of the National Technical Center? We have done some improvements at the National Technical Center since we bought that place. For those who have been there, who went there before we bought it and after, you will have noticed that we had to put a boundary wall across the whole property, which is 38 hectares, to make sure that the property is protected. We built two natural grass pitches. We built one artificial pitch there, and then we upgraded the accommodation. So we've done some bit of work, but however, there is more work to be done. And the challenge is always funding. I think when we bought the National Technical Center, we presented our vision to you of what we want to do with that place. And in terms of the vision that we presented to you and the budget that is required to get to that point where we want to be, we needed 600 million rand that time. I mean, we bought the place in 2015, so we needed 600 million that time. Maybe now it's more because of inflation. Do we have 600 million for that project? We don't. We have been approaching various organizations, various companies, for them to assist with funding so that we can upgrade that. So we are still looking for funding so that we can develop that place to be a state-of-the-world technical center that we want it to be. Can we use FIFA funding? Yes, we can use FIFA funding to do some upgrades there. But what we get from FIFA and what we want to do, it will be a drop. It's a drop in the ocean. We get $2 million from FIFA for project funding, $2 million over a four-year period, over a cycle, you know, which will give you, at the current rate, maybe about 40 million rand over 4 years. And we need 600 million to develop that place to be what we want it to be. So, yeah, so that's the challenge that we're having. And then in terms of the preparation time, Honorable Mhlongo, just to correct you there, we don't prepare a team a month before the tournament. Just to give you an example, the under-17 went to the Africa Cup of Nations now in April. They started preparing in October 2022. So their first camp was in October 2022, which gives you 6 to 7 months preparation that we gave them. And then how much do we spend on court cases? We spend on average 5 million per year on court cases. Most of these cases, we are defending ourselves. In fact, let me say all the cases, we are defending ourselves. So it's cost where we are defending ourselves, not where we are initiating the litigation. Yeah, I think we've covered all the questions. Thank you.
You are aware.
Honorable members, you want to follow up? I'm saying that, okay, when you say no.
No, Chair, it's not a follow-up. I just want to propose that we have an engagement further with SAFA in the second quarter because of two reasons. The first one is the one that DG talked about and the Vice President. The SAFA endowment that they need to present to us. The reason why I didn't make a follow-up is because of that. He raised that and said it's details. That is why I didn't make a follow-up because they are going to present to us and I propose that it should be physical and more time to it. The second one is that we don't have enough time now. Our flights are from about hour or two, so we can't stay longer than what it is now. So that is why I'm proposing that we meet them in the second quarter because the first quarter has to be civil reserve. That's it.
Thank you, Honorable Members. You know, I'm so happy. We have a good team. Some of us will be leaving a good legacy in this sport. We are robust. Sometimes we are harsh to even each other, and sometimes we are harsh to our visitors. But if you can look at the sport as in culture, you are like a political organization because you have got different characters like in our political party. So when we are coming here, we are expecting that you must be like this. Sometimes even our good selves, we do tap with our own people who are with you. And then when we're coming here, we're coming to give information to each other, the correct information. And we have got a right of raising all what we're getting in order that when we are here, you must clarify. And anyone who's raising questions which were not in the presentation, this is the only time that we can have a chance of getting clarification. I will support honorable members when they are saying, let's have this document that you must come and present. For me, all the affiliates in that workshop, it was a very robust workshop. I was not aware that you have, I was aware that you have about 52 regions, and they were all serious. The discussion were robust, and even your presentations. And when I was opening, I was saying that I was there and with your robust. And if now that information is not with these members, really will raise other questions, which today you are feeling that document must come. Because they are raising same questions which were raised by those regions in there. So, honorable members, you are just on point. We are just on point. With these honorable members, I did report back that you said we must support you when you wanted to have when we are bidding. If it means that they must act in DG a day that these honorable members with this SAFA and the department must be out there
supporting the bid and with our t-shirts and doing whatever, it can be really a South African people who are loving sport people of Umzans. You know, those other days, whilst where some of us, I was in NCOP, whenever we are going in these countries whom you mentioned, Honorable Zondi, when they are seeing us, they are saying, hey, 2010, these are Mandela, soccer Mandela. So, soccer, Honorable Members, now I'm suspecting when we get this banyana, the profile, we need to make it, that this is the mother of soccer. Let alone that now we have our girls, the netball. I'm suspecting in my retirement, I'll always knock at Mshongo's committee, knock at the department, saying that you must not forget me. I'm still a loving woman of sport. With those words, I'm feeling very happy that after we've been trying to have meetings with you, every now and then you were having important meetings like this one, that your president is not with us. And if you look at the agenda, he was supposed to go there. Maybe you wanted to go with him, but you gave us this time that we must be with you. We had a good meeting, which I'm taking what honorable members are saying, that with this administrator, we'll put it with immediate effect, that come the quarter which we're coming back, we'll be meeting with you again. Acting DG, on behalf of our government, which is a ministry, thank you. When the ministers are having other engagements, that you must lead the department with your encourage. Our good staff, these, they are not sleeping. I don't know about yours. I call them even 1 a.m. and 2 p.m., all of them. Some are married, I don't, but at least because I'm a woman, those husbands, they will hear in that. It's a soft voice, and it's more softer when I'm in that night. With the staff of our department, thank you so much. You are still young, you're thinking that Friday is a farce. It's a working day. to you, leadership of staff, we enjoy and we learn a lot. Thank you so much, all the members. Do we have any other people who are here that I didn't say anything about themselves?
No, we covered.
Or staff is our staff.
No, we covered.
Yes, we are all welcome and thank you so much. Honorable members, with weekends are for funerals, for other things of our families. But thank you so much that irrespective of that, we wanted this meeting to be virtual. You spare us this time. That's brilliant leadership. The meeting is closed. We have photos, all of us, even those who are having ties, not t-shirts. We are still waiting your t-shirts. When we are coming, we take them. Yeah, let's go in t-shirts. There are those who are rushing for